Hey there, my name is Gary Sims and this is Gary Explains. Now every year around this time, ARM releases a new CPU design. Of course, in previous years we had the Cortex-A76, Cortex-A77, and this year we were expecting the Cortex-A78, and in fact ARM have released the Cortex-A78, but they've also released a new CPU design called the Cortex-X1. So we've got two CPU cores to talk about today. So if you want to find out more, please let me explain. So the Cortex-A78 is the normal roadmap CPU that ARM planned after the A76, after the A77, and now comes the Cortex-A78, and any partner that wants to build a chip with this CPU core, and it can come to ARM and say, can we please have your latest and greatest Cortex-A CPU core, and they would get the Cortex-A78, and that will include SoC makers for mobile, and we'll talk more about that later. But there's now also a new program available to select partners who partner with ARM beforehand, so during the development process, that allow them to get access to this new X range of processors, in this case the X1, and we'll dive deeper into that program and what the X1 is in a minute. But let's start by looking at the Cortex-A78. Now, if you're looking for a big figure, the Cortex-A78 is 20% faster than the Cortex-A77 if we move to 5 nanometers, which it looks like we will, if you use the greater clock speeds that are available because you've moved to 5 nanometers and because of the performance increases of the microarchitecture of the Cortex-A78. As well as performance increases, the A78 offers greater power efficiency. So a 2.1 gigahertz A78 running on 5 nanometers uses 50% less power than a Cortex-A77 on 7 nanometers running at 2.3 gigahertz. And of course, the idea being because it's also a faster processor because of the microarchitecture, those two would kind of offer similar performance, but yet you're using 50% less power. So if we put aside the jump from 7 nanometers to 5 nanometers for a moment, the Cortex-A78 is about 7% faster than the Cortex-A77 when it comes to integer performance. It's about 4% more power efficient on a per core basis, again, ignoring the jump from 7 nanometers to 5 nanometers, and it's about 5% smaller per core. And overall, that means if you have a quad core processor, it's around 15% smaller space on the actual die, which of course reduces costs or allows there to be more space for other things like maybe extra cache or other things on the SoC, GPU stuff, NPU stuff, whatever they need to add on. So if we look here at this graph, this is what they call ISO comparison, which means if everything was equal in terms of the manufacturing process and the gigahertz, so you're trying to make as level field as much as possible, then you can see the Cortex-A78 is 7% faster than the Cortex-A77. And we've also got the Cortex-A76 there, the yellow bar for reference. When it comes to power consumption, we can see that the Cortex-A78 drops the power down by 4% compared to the Cortex-A77. Of course, notice that the A76 was a very power efficient processor. And then when it comes to area, again, we can see a drop there of 5%. But notice this is running with a Cortex-A78 with 32K of level one instruction cache and 32K of level one data cache. This is an important thing to notice here because we're going to talk a little bit about this as we go through, that ARM now allow the Cortex-A78 to have just 32K of L1 cache instruction, L1 cache data. And the reason for that is because the performance of the processor itself in terms of the prefetchers and the bandwidth it allows enables SoC makers to actually reduce that to 32K if they want to. Of course, they can keep it at 64K and maybe get some more benefits in terms of performance, but it's an option. And we'll talk more about at the end about what configurations we might see for the Cortex-A78. Now let's just dive in quickly into a bit about the microarchitecture of the Cortex-A78. Now, if you remember my other videos, in very, really big, rough terms, a CPU has to fetch the instructions it's going to execute, it has to decode the instructions it's going to execute, and then it needs to actually execute them. And so this gives us this idea of a pipeline, a kind of a front end which fetches the stuff in, a middle part which decodes the instructions, and then an end part which actually executes them and makes the changes to the registers and memory and so on. And so looking at the front end of the Cortex-A78, we can see a really big change here. They've expanded the branch predictor to be able to cope with two taken branches per cycle. Now, branch predictors are a really important part of the way modern microprocessors are built. For example, when you're running a program with this pipeline I was talking about with the front end, the fetch, and then the decode, and then the execute, if the program jumps off to another part of memory, all those other instructions that were in that pipeline getting ready to be executed are now invalid because you've jumped to a completely different part of the memory and a completely different set of instructions. So modern processors can actually look at a window, kind of a buffer of instructions that are coming, and look at any branches and say, well, actually, I think that this branch is going to happen or not happen. Now, the way they do that is, of course, very complicated. Lots of secret sauce involved. And each of the microprocessor manufacturers in the world have a go at doing this. But the thing about the Cortex-A78 is it can now look at that instruction window of all the instructions that are coming along, and it can predict what two branches are going to do if they're inside of that instruction window. So that's really a step forward in the way that ARM designs its microprocessors. And then if we look at the other end of the pipe, so this is the kind of the execute part of the pipe, here we can see there's been a 50% increase in the load bandwidth, load being a load from memory, compared to the Cortex-A77, double data store bandwidth, now up to 32 bytes per cycle, doubled the L2, that's the L2 cache interface, and there are the next generation of data prefetch improvements, including coverage, accuracy, and timeliness. So not only is it important how the instructions are coming into the CPU to be executed, but once they get to the other end, is there going to be a log jam because they can't get dealt with quick enough? Here, the Cortex-A78 is expanding its overall bandwidth so that quickly things can happen, so there's not like a big pileup behind it with all the things coming down the pipe, which have all nicely been fetched and predicted, and like, now we know what's going to happen, and then suddenly they all slow down because they've got nothing to do at the end. Now they've doubled the bandwidth in some of these things here in terms of the caching, prefetch, and all that, so that actually there is a greater dispatch at the end of all of those instructions. And here we have a performance and power graph of the Cortex-A78 versus the Cortex-A77. If you look at that spot there in the middle where it says 7%, what we can see is that for the same amount of power, you now actually get 7% more performance. Or actually, if you did want that level of performance before and it went right up, you'd actually now using 36% less power for the same level of performance on the Cortex-A78 compared to the Cortex-A77. So good improvements all round. So in general, the Cortex-A78 is the roadmap CPU that any partner, even today, could come to ARM and say, we'd like the latest processor. They would get the Cortex-A78. You get double-digit performance increase compared to the Cortex-A77 if you include the jump from 7 nanometer to 5 nanometer and a bump in the clock speed. And if you keep everything the same, then we're looking at single-digit performance increases. However, there are savings in terms of area and savings in terms of the power efficiency. So overall, a good successor to the Cortex-A77, but ARM have also saved some of the real juicy stuff for the Cortex-X1. So back in 2016, ARM announced the Built on Cortex program. And the idea was that a select partner could work with ARM during the development of the CPU core and actually tweak some of the ways that the processor was designed compared to the standard ROMAP CPU. And that partner turned out to be Qualcomm, and they used it from a marketing point of view and from an actual CPU point of view for the next few generations of Snapdragon processor. So just after it was announced, we also had the Cortex-A73 announced, and that was the Cryo 280, and it was mainly a marketing effort, and it's what you find in the Snapdragon 835. And then you get the Cortex-A75, which had the Cryo 385 in it, and again, that was mainly a marketing exercise and what you find in the Snapdragon 845. However, by now, the 2 years that you kind of need to design a CPU core had gone past, and the Cryo 485 was a true built-on Cortex CPU. It was based on the Cortex-A76, but it had a larger out-of-order execution window, and there were other changes to do with the data prefetcher that made it optimal for the particular mobile workloads that Qualcomm were looking at. And then finally now, when you got the Cortex A77, that was basically the Cryo 585, what you find in the Snapdragon 865. And again, it was basically a marketing thing. So in real terms, Qualcomm actually only released one processor that truly was built on Cortex technology, and that was what you find in the Snapdragon 855. So the CPU core in the Snapdragon 855 is different to the CPU core that you might find in other vendors who are also using ARM Cortex processors. And as an evolution of the built-on Cortex program, we now have the Cortex X Custom Program, CXC, which allows an ARM partner to work with ARM during the development of the processor to produce something bigger and beefier and faster than the roadmap CPU, but pushing the barriers in terms of power usage and area usage, because they know they want to just throw everything they can at this to kind of get the best performance, with maybe not quite so much worrying about the efficiency or the area costs. And one big important difference with the CXC program is that the CPUs will be developed under the ARM Cortex brand. So this will be the Cortex X1, and ARM is responsible for the ecosystem, for the branding, for the marketing all around the Cortex X program. So here it is, the ARM Cortex X1, the most powerful Cortex CPU ever. And ARM are saying there is a 30% peak performance increase compared to previous generation Cortex A processors. And what do they mean by that? They mean if you take an X1 running at 3 GHz with 1 MB of L2 cache, 8 GB of L3 cache, and then compare that to a Cortex A77 running at the same clock speed but with less L2 cache, less L3 cache, the maximums that were available at the time, of course, then you get a 30% integer increase. And then again, we can look at ISO process, ISO frequency, meaning if everything was equal, the same nanometers, the same clock speed, then you can see here that we've got a 30% integer performance increase compared to the A77. Of course, the A78 also had a 7% performance increase, again, ignoring the move from 7 nanometer to 5 nanometer and so on. And you've basically got a 22% integer performance, therefore, over the Cortex A78. So the Cortex X1 is basically what happens if you remove the limitations on area, that's the die size, and of cost, because the X1 is aimed at, well, we want a fast processor, we don't mind if it's a bit more power hungry, we don't mind if it's bigger, put more logic in there, put more branch predictors in there, we'll talk about that in a moment, put more cache in there, and let's see what we can get. Now, the Cortex X1 is based on the Cortex A78, but it's not the Cortex A78, just with a few tweaks. It's actually a different microarchitecture, and we'll look at that in a minute when we dive into the microarchitecture. But that now means that ARM are developing 3 series of CPUs simultaneously. So you've got the roadmap CPUs, the Cortex A78, and I'm sure they're working on the A79, and you know, so on down the road. We've now got the X1 CPUs, and we would hope there's also now an X2 in development. And of course, there is also the Neoverse processors, which are aimed more at the servers and data centers, which ARM are also developing. So it's 3 separate Cortex A level CPUs that they are developing simultaneously. And so the big thing when we look at the Cortex X1 is we can see actually this has now got a 5 instruction fetch from the instruction cache. It was 4 for the Cortex A78, and it's got an 8 MOP, that's micro operation fetch, from the MOP cache compared to 6 from the Cortex A78. So the moment you make that wider, it can fetch things, more instructions at the same time, which then go into that decode process. You're now talking about a different microarchitecture. This isn't just a tweak where they say, let's throw in some more cache, let's just do a bit of this. You're now talking fundamentally on the inside, it's a different design because they want to be able to increase the performance to the maximum. And if we look here at the decode part of the pipeline, 33% increase in dispatch bandwidth, 40% increase in out-of-order window size. So 224 entry instruction window, which is much larger than what you've got in the Cortex A78. And they've also doubled up the floating point execution bandwidth. And if you look at the tail end, the back end, you can see here again an even greater emphasis on maximizing that bandwidth and capacity so that all those nice instructions that are coming down the pipeline are able to get resolved and executed at the very end of the whole process. So if we compare the Cortex-A78 with the Cortex-X1, what do we have? The Cortex-A78 is basically about increased performance, but with a great emphasis on power efficiency and on area, whereas the X1 is based on peak performance. So it doesn't matter if the clock speed goes up a bit, doesn't matter if the heat goes up a bit, because it's just peak performance and not worrying too much about the area. And you can see because of that, there is a difference in the microarchitectures. As we said, 4 and 6 instruction fetches compared to 5 and 8 in the X1. You've got 4 times 128-bit neon floating point operations available, simultaneous operations available inside of the X1. And you've got greater amounts of cache, up to 1 megabyte of L2 and 8 megabytes of L3. So how are these cores going to be used? Well, if we just look at the Cortex-A78, a partner that's not part of the Cortex-X custom program can take the A78 and maybe they could use it in a more standard 478 with 4A55 cores, a 4+4. They could maybe go down the prime core kind of idea, one Cortex-A78 core clocked at a higher clock frequency, 64K of L1 cache, and then maybe 3 Cortex-A78 at a lower clock frequency, maybe only 32K of L1 cache, and then the Cortex-A55, or even maybe a 2+2+4 setup, again with those two first cores having maybe bigger caches. But the point to remember is that overall there can only be a 4 megabyte L3 cache across all of those cores. And here Arm have shown us a possible use of the Cortex-X1. So actually one Cortex-X1 core and then 3 Cortex-A78 cores and then 4 Cortex-A55 cores. Now that will give you a 30% peak single-threaded performance and then only a 15% increase in the cluster size, and also allows the chip maker to use 8 megabytes of L3 cache. Now, I think we may also see some other variations of this. How about 2 X1 cores, 2 A78 cores, and maybe those 78 cores again drop down to just 32K of L1 cache, and then 4 Cortex-A55 cores. So that's a 2+2+4. So in this case, we've got 2 CPU cores of one type, the X1, 2 CPU cores of another type, the A78, and then 4 CPU cores of another type, the Cortex-A55. And that's very similar to the way Samsung have been making their Exynos processors, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But another variation we may see is 4 X1 processors and then just 4A55 processors. Where would we see that? Probably in a laptop setup. So if you think about the Microsoft SQ1 processor, which was basically a beefed up version of Qualcomm's laptop offerings, where there you're looking at 4 maxed out cores and then 4 power efficiency cores. So we could have a laptop processor for a Surface Book or for some other kind of Windows on ARM laptop, which has got 4 X1 processors in it and then 4 Cortex-A55 processors, because you've got a bigger battery inside of a laptop, so you can take that extra hit in terms of the performance and the power usage, because you want the performance and it's not going to kill the battery, as the Surface Pro X1 has proved. And that leaves us with the question, who and when? Well, the when part's easy to understand. It's going to be phones and devices that we see in 2021, which means we expect to see some announcements either at the end of this year or the beginning of next year, announcing systems on a chip which have got the X1 or the A78 in it. Now, who is a bit more complicated. On the one hand, we know that Qualcomm were the partner for the built-on Cortex program, so one would assume that ARM continued that partnership, and they said, well, let's evolve the built-on Cortex program, let's have the Cortex-X custom program, and so maybe we're going to see a Snapdragon with an X1 and an A78 and an A55, and that would be announced at the end of 2020. But also we know that Samsung have stopped making their custom CPU core designs. They have announced they are going with ARM CPU designs. So is Samsung part of the custom X program? Does Samsung have an option to go with a similar design to the Exynos? Two X1s, two A78s, four A55s? We don't know. We're going to find out. So it's going to be interesting to see how many customers there are inside of the Cortex X custom program. Is it one or is it two? And as for the other makers, if we're thinking about MediaTek, if we're thinking about Huawei, if we're looking at those, then it's a bit harder to guess. Huawei probably certainly doesn't have access to the X1. Current restrictions mean it probably doesn't have access to the A78, but I don't know. And then, of course, MediaTek has traditionally picked up the Cortex designs. It really does depend on whether they are going for more flagship or for that mid-range, which they've been very happy in and they've been very well in, but they haven't always gone for that flagship design. So are they going to pick up the 78? Are they going to pick up the X1? It's going to be interesting to see. So 2021 is going to be an interesting year when it comes to the possible variations of mobile processors. So not only now are we going to look for variances of the roadmap CPU, we've also got the variances of the custom CPU. And then, of course, on top of that, you've got GPUs and you've got NPUs and you've got video and multimedia and all the other stuff that needs to go in. So it really is going to be interesting to see. Now, talking of GPUs, ARM also announced a new GPU. In fact, they announced two new GPUs just to keep up this trend of announcing two things. And tomorrow's video is going to be about the new Mali GPU. Okay, that's it. My name is Gary Sims. This is Gary Explains. I really hope you enjoyed this video. If you did, please do give it a thumbs up. Also, don't forget to stick around by subscribing to the channel, and then you'll be able to see tomorrow's video on the Mali G78. Okay, that's it. I'll see you in the next one.